Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get your feet on the floor, get out of bed, and get out there and fire up a grill or smoker, even a deep fryer, because you know what? You need a little practice for Valentine's coming up next week, and you might as well perfect your science before you have to perform for mama. So make it happen. I'm Job. Barbecue Bob's on sabbatical. We're going to be talking to him a little bit later. He's down in the Caribbean. He's out there just enjoying life and camping on a beach. So we'll be talking to him. But joining me again this week, thank you so much, is Chef Andrew Smith, a culinary genius that is sitting in the chair beside me. And we even got another little treat for you. We've got another brother Smith. And I bet it's from the same mother, though. Right, Drew?
Yes, it would be the same mother. Different father.
Right.
No, just kidding. But thanks for the kind words. And yeah, we've got my younger, smarter brother, Mike, here.
Don't forget, better looking.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But here's the deal, is Mike just isn't here for his good looks, because Mike is actually a sommelier. And what that is we're going to have him tell you what it is, because I think I know, but because he is one, we're going to let him do that first. But before we get to that, Drew, you and I were, after the show last week, it was Saturday, Super Bowl was on Sunday. We both had a little treats that we went back and prepared for Super Bowl. You out-chefed me, as I knew you would, and you made a brisket. And brisket is a barbecue thing, but I want you to just break this down for the guys and ladies that are out there. Tell us what you did with that brisket, because it never touched the smoker.
No, it didn't. And the reason I did that on Super Bowl was it was a little bit too cold to try and keep that temp going on the smoker. So couple days beforehand, I had taken a whole slab of bacon and braised that down to make pulled bacon, basically like pulled pork or, you know, pulled brisket. But you just braise it down until it starts to fall apart. You pull it out and shred the bacon up, and you can use it wherever you want to.
So when you braise that, for people that don't know, that's a process where you're putting a piece of slab bacon. It's not sliced bacon.
Nope.
Slab bacon, and you're putting it in a liquid, right?
Yep, I'm putting it in a braising liquid. I used a little bit of cider, some chicken stock, and herb spices that I wanted to use in that. Braise the slab of bacon down until it just started to shred apart. And then what I'm left with is this liquid that I call a bacon fumet, because when you drink it, it's like drinking liquid bacon.
Can that be wrong, Michael? I mean, there's got to be a wine to go with that, right, Mike?
There is absolutely a wine to go with that, and that is so wrong, it's right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we had to eat, you know, pulled bacon for a few days at our house, which my wife doesn't mind, and either do the, you know, friends who stop in to grab a bite to eat.
Yeah, and notice he called his little brother to say, hey, by the way, I got this going on. You want to stop by for dinner?
Right.
He refused, but that's okay. So I had that bacon fumet left over, and then I had a brisket that I took and put a rub on, let it sit overnight. And the rub was basically a little bit of sugar, some ground coffee, smoked paprika, chili powder, garlic, onion, you name it, whatever you like to put in your rubs. I rubbed that on the brisket. I just did the point of the brisket, wanted it smaller so it would fit in my oven, and let it sit overnight, and then I seared it in a pan. When I got done searing both sides, then I deglazed it with a little bit of red wine, a little bit of apple cider vinegar to give my acid to help break down that meat, and then a little bit of brown sugar, and then I put that bacon fumet, that bacon stock in there, covered it, and then threw it in the oven for about two and a half hours, and I tell you what, boy, you wouldn't miss the smoker at all on that. And I know you tasted it the other day at the house.
Right, right, I did, and it was fabulous. I mean, different than any other brisket I'd ever had, and that bacon fumet, I kind of like that term. Maybe I have my license plate. I mean, just fumet.
Fumet. Smoke it.
But anyway, no, it was a completely different flavor than any brisket I'd ever had. Delicious, as you would expect, but interesting that there's just many, many ways, as everybody knows, to put this stuff together. I, on the other hand, went a little on the smoker. Our friends down at Boondocks, which is a big boy toy store down in southern Grand Rapids, a little burg called Caledonia down there, halfway between Hastings and Grand Rapids. And they have a chili cook-off that they were in. They're raising money for charity. These are the reasons that we get into these things, because we can help people out and have a little bit of fun. And I think he had 16, 18 teams down there, and I became the first loser. I came in second with my chili. But evidently, the guys down there at Boondocks, because they drive hot rods, and he's got electric motorcycles down there. We'll have him on the show later in the year, and you talk about those. Those are kind of cool. But he's got hot rods and big lifted trucks and stuff is the stuff they specialize in down there. And evidently, they like meat, because the guy that beat me with the chili recipe, he didn't have a bean anywhere near his chili, nor was there much tomato in it. It was like eating a bowl of meat, man. But it was tasty if you wanted a bowl of meat.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But, you know, Randy, you know, being the first loser, that's got to be a strange place for you to be, because last few competitions, you've basically walked away with it.
Well, we've got a good chili recipe, and I can't take all the credit for that. Barbecue Bob is the one that perfected it, and he slowly but surely leeches the ingredients to me as I need them. And probably he left one out is why I came in second, because he wasn't in this competition. He again was on his little sabbatical. So
well, being that Bob's on sabbatical again, this time, love to offer my assistance next time you got one of those chili cook-offs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because I know if I call you, we're gonna put some fumet in it or something, and it'll be rocking. Absolutely. So, Michael, we're gonna tease these guys a little bit with what we got coming up, but give us a little bit of your background. You're a wine expert.
I am a wine expert. I'm a certified sommelier, so that means I'm a level 2 out of 4. Being a sommelier is a French term that used to mean cellar master at a restaurant, because before wine was ready to be consumed at the grocery store or at your local purveyor, you actually would go talk to somebody who managed a bunch of different wines from a bunch of different areas, and he would give you what's drinking appropriately. So it's kind of part of my knowledge base to know how vintages are going, what wine's at its certain peak of drinkability, and make sure that people are getting the right stuff into their mouth.
Right. Well, you know what? This is a confusing topic for me, which is why I'm really excited to have you on the show today, because we can share this with our listeners in that I've often mentioned that when you walk up to the craft beer case and you're looking at the 400 varieties in stores like Siciliano's Market over on the west side of Grand Rapids, literally 300 or 400 beers that they have in there. And it's very, very overwhelming. And we've tried to educate our listeners down to, you know, if you look for the IBUs, the ABV, and then some styles of beer, and give them kind of families and flavors that they can understand what they're doing. Because the worst thing you can do is with a six pack of beer is go in and spend $12-14, and the first time you crack one open, you hate it. And we're going to try to do that for the listeners today with the wine.
Okay.
Because I think that somebody with your depth of knowledge and understanding of it can break this down in layman's terms, because that's where I need to be with it. When I walk into a wine shop, again, Siciliano's is probably as large of a wine shop as we have in West Michigan, and there are several out there, but I just don't know what families of grapes and varietals and that I want to do. And if we can look at that based on the food,
okay,
that we're going to have, or maybe you could say this is a very good wine if you like sweeter wines, if you like drier wines, if you like, you know, different regions, you know, the dirty grapes of the Malbecs and things like that I've heard. And with Drew and you sitting here, I'm just going to kind of like push the button and let you guys roll on this thing if I can stay out of your way. But anyway, so coming up next, we're going to be talking with Michael and Drew, and we're going to touch on three things you need to know about choosing wine, because if you just remember these two or three things, you're going to get a long ways when you're standing in front of the wine counter. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. As long as it was deep, yeah.